Please pray with me.
Father God, we live in a world that, if we're honest and we look at the news and we see the situation around us, is departing more and more from your law and your guidance in your word. And so becoming a Christian and being a Christian is now becoming more difficult than ever before, as is sharing our faith with others. And so we pray, Lord, that as we come to your word, it will be your word that encourages us and gives us great fuel for thought, that it would embolden us to be more bold for Jesus. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, my wife is a Blue Mountains girl, and she's part of a connection of people that love to get together once a year on a big block of land in the Blue Mountains for a game of soccer and a bit of a party. And so when we turn up there, we're both very aware that amongst the 40 to 60 people, we are the only Christians there. And I can remember a year or so ago overhearing my wife talking to a big burly Irishman that had probably had a few beers in him by then and asking the question, who do you think Jesus is? Well, amongst all the conversations and the rabble that was going on, those words really came out to me. They were very different to all the other conversations, and I've got to confess, I immediately felt a little bit awkward. Sharing our faith with others can be a very difficult thing to do. My wife's a natural outreacher, a natural evangelist. I'm not. I find it very awkward and very difficult. And when we look at the topic of evangelism, most of us usually feel a sense of guilt and awkwardness and pain. In fact, most of us rank the idea of telling others about Jesus at about the same pain level as root canal surgery. We'd rather do anything else but that. And there's all sorts of reasons why. I'm not great with my words. I don't know my Bible particularly well. That person won't be interested in hearing about Jesus. All sorts of reasons as to why we don't go and tell people about Jesus. And so I think it's fair that we look at the Word and see what the Bible says about telling others about Jesus. And so we're going to do this in two parts this morning. First of all, should we tell people about Jesus? And then secondly, how should we tell people about Jesus? Now, on the first point, the Bible gives us many reasons to tell people about Jesus. I want us to focus just on four today. And the very first one is, somebody told you about Jesus. Now, the passage that we had read out by Helen just before quotes from the psalm which says, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. I'm assuming today that none of us share the Apostle Paul's experience of walking down a road and having an encounter with Jesus personally. You, like me, were introduced to Jesus through somebody's faithful going. Now, for me, possibly like you, it was my parents. My parents who faithfully read the Bible to me and took me along to church week in, week out as a little fella. And when I became a teenager, I decided my parents didn't know what they were talking about and departed from the faith. But then it was a cousin named Peter and another fella named George who faithfully brought me back to the feet of Jesus. Somebody was faithful in telling you about Jesus, and so that is the way in which God does his work of kingdom growth. It is through people going and telling. That's the first reason. Somebody told you. Secondly, and this should be enough for us today, we are commanded to. We are commanded to. We read it before. It's the classic text on evangelism, Matthew 28, 18 to 20. Then Jesus came to them, that was the disciples, and he said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. Now, who's he talking to? The disciples. 12 hand-picked men we refer to as apostles from Jesus, commissioned to go out with the good news of the gospel. And we might be inclined to say, well, that was for them, but that's not for me. Now, 2 weeks ago in my lounge room, a bloke named Denny, who's a good mate of mine and part of our church, he asked that question. He said, how do we know this is meant for me and not just for them? Well, there's two reasons. First of all, they're told to go out to all of the nations. That's a big call for 12, which would become 11 blokes, 2,000 years ago. They didn't even know about Australia. They didn't know all of the nations. So this is impossible for them to fulfill themselves. Secondly, Jesus says, I am with you always to the very end of the age. Now that is a reference to the return of Jesus when he comes in glory in the heavenly realms to take the throne. That would not happen in the disciples' lifetime. He is clearly talking about something beyond these 12 men. This is a command to go with the good news, and we are commanded to do that as disciples of him. Go is the word. Will you go out to an aching, broken world with the words of eternal life? So, number one, somebody came to you. Number two, you are commanded to go also. Number three, there is something worse than death. There is something worse than death. Without the gospel, the harsh reality is that people are literally doomed. Now, if you ask the average person in the street, what is the worst thing that can happen to you? They'll say what? To die. But an old friend of mine, she's married. Her husband, he's a very young man. He's in his early 50s. And she put up on Facebook a post. She said, we've gone to have some scans and some tests at the doctors, and we have received the worst news possible. My husband has terminal cancer. Well, the Bible says that's actually not the worst news possible. Death is not the worst thing that can happen to us. The Bible says there's something worse than death. Jesus said in verses 4 to 5 of Luke chapter 12, I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that can do no more. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after your body has been killed, has authority to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Now, who's he talking about? That's God. God, the great judge, with the power to throw you into hell. Now, I don't know about you, but my experience with modern Christianity at the moment is we don't want to talk about hell. And many of the evangelists you might see on TV, the popular preachers, will focus on life and on heaven and on all of the good stuff, but not on the reality of hell. It's considered to be unloving. The world will call it hate speech. And yet Jesus, who is the epitome of the love of God, speaks about hell repeatedly and graphically, because he loves people and he wants them to avoid it. A couple of months ago, my daughter, Thea, who's seven now, she was six. She's one of these kids that, some kids are just a bit noisy. Everything she does is pretty noisy. Even her reading, she's kind of noisy. And so when everything's very quiet at home, I start to get a bit suspicious. Something's wrong. And a couple of months ago, everything was a bit too quiet. So I went and had a bit of a wander, and I found her in the TV room. The day before, we'd received a package, and that package came in a large plastic bag. And I walk into the room, and there's my little girl with the plastic bag over her head playing with it. Now, kids die every day doing that. But I didn't want to give hate speech. I didn't want to scare my little girl. And so I didn't warn her of the dangers of that. I just guided her to play with something safer. No, of course I didn't. I'm a loving dad. I hope I'm a loving dad. I need to be a better dad by not leaving plastic bags lying around for her to put over her head. But I warned her, Thea, let me tell you about the danger of this. I'm going to try not to leave the plastic bags lying around anymore, but if you do come across one, never put it over your head. It can kill you. That scared her. And that's good, because some things we should be scared of. If I love my little girl, I'll warn her of the danger. If we love the people around us, we will warn them, as Jesus does, of the danger of an eternity in judgment without God. Number one, someone came to us. Number two, we are commanded to go. Number three, hell is real. Number four, eternal life is real. The good news. We live, I think, in a pretty good part of the world, don't we? As many people in our world would love to live in a town like Young or West Wylam. It's not bad. And yet, over the last 3 years, we've had drought, bushfires, flood, and pandemic. We live in a pretty good place, but it's not perfect, is it? It's a long way from perfect. God has something in store for those who follow him that is far greater than the life that we have now. John 10 verse 10, he says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Life to the full means quality and quantity. The quality of living life with your Creator the way you and I were supposed to. The quality of having the Holy Spirit dwelling within you. Of enduring hardship, yes, but within the context of blessing upon blessing now. And a quantity of life that stretches through to eternity, where the curse of this world is gone. Where all those things that are going wrong with our bodies as they start to break down and give us all sorts of pain and issues, they're all gone. We have resurrected bodies. We are glorified with our great Heavenly Father. That is proper life. And that's a life, isn't it? I think that's a life that we want people around us to enjoy. So let me throw out an awkward challenge for you. Is there anyone that you've known for at least a year that you haven't spoken to about Jesus? I told you it was an awkward question. We've seen at least four reasons from the Bible why it is not an option. It might be awkward, and Satan will do everything possible to deter us and to tell us that we shouldn't be spreading the good news. Fight against that. God commands us, Jesus commands us, as faithful disciples to go to that neighbour, to that close friend, to that relative. It will always be awkward, but we're commanded to. Okay, second point, how do we go? We've seen that we should go. How do we go? Two ways, locally and globally. Locally, we're given an example of what everyday evangelism looks like from the book of Colossians. Let me read to you. Colossians 4, 5 to 6 says this. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how to answer everyone. Now, who's he talking to here? He's not talking to a pastor's convention. It's not a group of trained evangelists. He's talking to an ordinary church like this one with ordinary people like you and I. There probably would have been some single mums thrown in here, some recently divorced people, some people with all sorts of sickness, people with all sorts of problems and issues and complications, and yet he's telling them about evangelism in the everyday. He's saying that our mission is about normal moments in everyday life. The conversation you have in the lounge room. over the fence. Everywhere around. Anytime you're talking with non-Christians, make the most of every opportunity, which means being prepared for every opportunity. In my early 20s, I worked in a service station in a little hippie town called Bellingen. Does anybody know the town Bellingen at all? Yeah, okay. A little bit west of Coffs Harbour, a bit like Nimbin. Crazy people everywhere. It was a very interesting place to work. And I was in there one day, and this bloke used to always come in, and he used to always put in $5.02 worth of petrol into his car, because it gets rounded down. If it was $5.03, he's got to pay an extra 5 cents. So he comes in, and he walks in, and he pays it, and he says to me, he says, "What's the meaning of life?" And I'd like to say that I had a great answer off the bat. I said, "Oh, what a fantastic question. Let me explain to you how God has..." No. I sat there sort of stunned, and then he paid and he walked out. And an older guy who's a mentor of mine happened to be with me on that day. And he said to me, "Steve, I hope you don't sleep well tonight, because you just missed an amazing opportunity to tell somebody about Jesus." I think George was probably right. God used that to teach me a lesson. I'm very slow to learn it myself. You never know when an opportunity is going to come to tell somebody about Jesus. So be looking out for it. That's part of your morning prayer. "Lord, help me to see the opportunities in front of me and to take the most of it." Firstly, we do it locally, everyday conversations with people. But secondly, globally. We're talking about worldwide mission. Romans 10:13-15, Helen read it before, I want to read it again. "Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news." How many people in our world have never heard about Jesus? I like statistics, and so here's one for you. I think you'll find this interesting. Has anybody heard of the 1040 window? Okay. You imagine the globe, and the 1040 window stretches from 10 degrees south of the equator to 40 degrees north of the equator. And within that band around our globe lives two-thirds of our world's population, including the poorest of the poor. 95% of those people have never heard about Jesus. Two-thirds of the world's population, 95% have never heard about Jesus. Now, you would think, wouldn't you, that our missionaries would primarily be going to that part of the world. We send a lot of missionaries overseas. It requires a lot of money. Have a guess at how much money devoted to worldwide mission goes into that little window. 1%. 1% of money given for missions goes into that part of the world with two-thirds of the world's population, 95% of who haven't heard about Jesus. So the majority of missionaries are going to those parts of the world that need the gospel less than that window. Why? Well, comfort. I'd rather hang around in Paris than Afghanistan. I don't know about you. It can be opportunities. There's no language barrier to some of these countries. Sometimes there's some sort of a connection. I've got Irish heritage, so I'll go to Ireland, that type of a thing. There are around 6,000 people groups in our world that are considered unreached. Now, when I think about that, I'm tempted to think arrogantly and self-righteously a little poorly of those missionaries that are in the comfortable countries. And then I think, hang on, I'm in young. I'm not even over there. So what can I be doing to see people reach for the gospel in those parts of the world. What do we do? Well, I would say for this group, we're probably not all in a, I don't know about Jan here, but you're probably not about to pack up and move over to Iraq and start doing, I didn't think so. Okay, that's not likely to be on the agenda, but our prayer and our support for missionaries absolutely is. And let me encourage you to be looking at those missionaries in those very difficult to reach parts of the world. My wife and I are hoping to go and visit a friend of ours in the Middle East. I can't even name her name because this is recorded, or the country she's going to, because it is illegal for her to be doing what she's doing over there. Look to be supporting those who are doing the hard yards in those parts of the world where it's illegal to be a Christian. There are many of them. Are you praying for your missionaries? Who are your link missionaries? Are you praying for them? Are you giving? And are you constantly mindful of what they're doing for the gospel? And I would say more broadly, in churches in general, we need to be trying to foster a culture that says it's a great thing to go to another part of the world. In churches in comfortable Australia, we can often see success, and maybe when you're thinking about your grandkids, for example, that a real success is them having getting married and having a great career. Well, that can be successful, but that's success in the eyes of the world. What about a grandchild who goes overseas in order to spread the good news about Jesus? We should be encouraging that type of thing as well. God has been so good to you and I in equipping us with the good news, the great news. What are we going to do to tell people about it? It's a tough one. It's so hard for me as well. I get it. Let's pray that God would help us and equip us. Father God, we thank you for an abundance of scripture that encourages us and equips us in sharing the good news. And we really do pray today, Lord, that you would please be helping us to be constantly mindful that we are ambassadors for Jesus and constantly prepared to give an answer for the faith that we believe. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.